What's up? What's up? What's up? So I wanted to start this podcast off on a more serious note. I'm going to have multiple people on here and I just want to be able to allow them to have their moment and their shine. So I'm going to go ahead and start with this and get this on out the way and just say, we all have to be able to make mistakes. Like, I would assume that a lot of things that most people did when they were younger, they don't do now that they're older because they know better. So, you know, when you make that mistake, the best thing you can do is learn from it because you can't change it. And I would hope that people aren't, like, I've made mistakes that when I was younger that changed me into a different person and it made me better in a way. And we have to allow the young people room to grow. I think that's very, very important. Mistakes are going to be made. Now, I'm not saying, you know, go out here and do crazy things and just use, you know, youth as an excuse for you and your actions. But, you know, just little character things that you do, you know, when you're younger that you just don't know any better. But as you get older in life, you understand like you can't be that way. It's just called growth. So that's why I try not to judge people so harshly when they make mistakes. Now, with that being said, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's helping with the podcast, sharing it, you know, or, hey, I want to be a part of it. What can I do to record and get on there? Just want to say I really appreciate that. And that's what it's really about, us coming together as a community, working together towards a common goal. And I appreciate it. Thank you. Because nobody's getting paid. I mean, I'm doing it for the love of it. And the people that are sending stuff, they're doing it for the love of it as well. And I appreciate that. So I was listening to Fear by Lecrae. And it just spoke to my spirit today. I hadn't heard it in a while. But I've noticed throughout the years, every time I go without hearing it, when I do hear it, I just play it over and over because there are certain sections in the song that really speak to me, you know, under stress and under pressure, Bible on my dresser that can teach my pain a lesson, but I'd rather not address it. Another one is what's after I can capture all this mess my heart was after. Will I end up empty handed when I stand before my master? So those lyrics just stood out to me because those are some questions that I ask myself every day. That I just kind of think on and, you know, it's Monday and I wanted people to get started off in the right place. So I sent it to a couple of people.
So my cousin, he just sent me some lyrics on the song that he was listening to. And the part that he sent to me said, how I fear an eternity. Will I hear well done when he turns to me? Will I hear your care too much about? All this stuff that really don't matter. You chase the wind, you don't want it. Got to the top of a 2-foot ladder. What's after I can capture all this mess my heart was after? Will I end up empty-handed when I get to heaven? See, for me, and the way I read these lyrics, interpret these lyrics, I've always looked at life like an eternal test. For every human being, once we're gone, where will we go? What will we have to show for the life that we've lived? If we go to heaven, will God look at us and say that we did all that we could in life and he's still proud of us? Will we see our family members and they look at us and say, we're glad to finally see you again? Or will they look at us in disappointment because the life that we lived wasn't necessarily what we thought we would live in life? You know, everybody has their own path. I've always seen it like this, that life is nothing but a story. Only us, we, every individual, we control our destinies. We control the paths that we take. You know, no one else can write our stories. It's a book. God is reading every single day, every single person on this planet, every single decision that we make. You know, he sees every word, every page, every picture. Life is too short. You live it only once. What's that old saying they used to say? YOLO? You only live once, right? Why not live life to the fullest with the people you love, people you care about, people who make you happy? Right and wrong is part of life. Just because you make a decision doesn't mean that it's the only decision left to be made. There are many paths to take. It's like the movies that we watched, MCU movies. What's it called now? The multiverse? Or not necessarily that's what it's called. That's just like the new theme of the phase that they're in right now. The multiverse. Not saying that there's probably another Chris out there, you know, who's making opposite decisions of the ones that I make, but every right has a wrong, which means that the one person that we are today, we could be a different person tomorrow or the next day or the next week, the next month, the next year. Events change people, you know. I'm starting to value life a little bit more than I did growing up. I've lost a lot of family members. I've buried a lot of blood. I have a child of my own now, you know. I have somebody to finally look up to me, you know, say, Daddy, I love you. Daddy, have a good time at work. Those moments are things that we can't pass up. Those are moments that we look forward to. Those are moments that some people actually work for. One of my nephews on my dad's side, I just found out that he's having a baby girl. I texted him last night. I told him I was proud of him. You know, that's a blessing to be a father. And then found out that his child is going to be a girl, you know, a baby girl.
It's always good when you can see growth. So shout out to my cousin on that journey as a father and how it's changing him as a man. I think that's really dope, and continue on that journey, fam. Next, on the next couple of segments, we're going to be talking about sports. So I'm going to go ahead and dive into that. I don't know how they're going to do it. I'm glad it's them, not me. You know, if I had the money, I definitely wouldn't mind doing this, but I ain't got it. But the fact that Shannon and Ocho are giving out money to the gold medalists in track, you know, the ones they specified what they would pay, that's dope. And then for every world record, you know, that Team America breaks, you know, they were going to do like 50K, and whether that was split it between the team or it was just that one individual, that's pretty cool, because, you know, America doesn't really have a great payout for its medalists. So that's dope that they're doing that. And I just want to say salute Noah Lyles, man. Him winning that photo finish was really dope. And he definitely deserves, you know, all the praise he's getting right now, because that was a special race. And that's not even his specialty. He's really a 200. So I can't wait to see what he does there. And hopefully he makes history. So I wanted to speak on Caitlin Clark. I haven't had the chance to really give my thoughts and opinion on her and her game and what she's meant to the women's basketball community. I think she's a tremendous player. You know, I don't really want to get up in the politics of the her versus another player or versus the old guard. I just think we should appreciate what she's doing, which is, you know, bringing eyes to the game. Her and along with a lot of other players. And I think it's just good that people are actually watching the WNBA, because I think it's pretty dope. Nafisa Collier and Breanna Stewart started a league called Unrivaled. They started in July 2023, and I seen where Paige was gonna just got some equity in the league this week. Paige Becker's been able to get into the Unrivaled League with some equity as a college athlete. I think is amazing for her to still be in college and still be a part of a professional league. I don't know if that's ever been done before, but I think that's major. And shout out to her and congrats. I know the league starts in January 2025. There will be 30 players on 6 teams, and they will play in a compressed full court game 3v3. And y'all know my motto since we're talking about the WNBA. Bring back the sting. We deserve a team here in Charlotte. WNBA is starting to really take off, and I think we should be a part of that. So again, bring back the sting. It's great to be football season. So I'm going to go ahead and just get this on record. I am from North Carolina. I have love for the Panthers, but I'm a Cowboys. So I like to watch the Cowboys. I kind of like the drama surrounding it, probably more so than, I mean, they haven't won anything. That's really the only thing they win in is drama and confusion. But I always hear this narrative that Cowboy fans think they're going to win every year. I just want to let y'all know, nobody thinks we're going to win this year. That's a fake narrative. I don't know any Cowboy fans who believe that. I don't believe that. And certainly Jerry Jones don't believe that either. So let's not even discuss that this year. I mean, honestly, if we go 8-9, that might be an accomplishment. So this next part is going to be the music section where we just kind of have a couple sections talking about music, highlighting some people from North Carolina, as well as a top 10 MC since 2016 list. So this is Twan's top 10 list of MCs since 2016. I don't really know how he came up with the list. I'm going to have him on the podcast at a later date explaining how he came to the conclusion to how some of these people made this list. But here's his list. Y'all check it out.
What's good, bro? So here's my top 10 MC list currently from 2016 to now. Start with number one. I'm working my way down. Number one is Kendrick, of course. Number two, Westside Gunn. Number three, Danny Brown. Number four, Billy Woods. Number five, JPEG Mafia. Number six, Nipsey. Number seven, Sauce Walker. Number eight, I'm going to go King Von. Number nine, I'm going to go Young Dolph. And then number 10, I'm going to go Kai. This rapper named Kai, he's underground. That's my top 10 current MCs from 2016 to now. I can't wait to hear your CEO, bro. Peace.
So the name of this section is going to be Carolina Spotlight. And it's going to be where I highlight artists with under 1,000 listeners on Spotify. And all of them are from North Carolina. So I just want to kind of give them some spotlight. They got some songs that I like. I know two of the people personally. The other two I don't know. But I listen to their songs a lot. So check them out. I'm going to put the link for their songs in the description when I make the YouTube video. So there's going to be two songs from Styx. One of them is Do Your Dance. And he doesn't really like the song anymore. He's kind of moved on from it. He was at a different point in his life. But I love the song because it's a really fun song. Whenever you hear it, it's got good energy. The beat's knocking. And yeah. It's a good, fun song. And then Ride the Town, obviously the title obviously kind of describes the song a little bit. I like the song because it's just something that we do where I'm from sometimes. So I thought it was pretty cool. Next is Tempest by Jay Leo. And we went to high school together. I've been knowing him a really long time. I don't think he was rapping like that back then. But I do feel that he's one of the best lyricists that I know personally.
Running away, hoping I make a change. Steady my heart and feel his pill away. Losing myself, will I be okay? Walking the line, dividing love and hate. Whoa, will I make it out? Heartstrings pulling out. Guns sing harmonies, chalk lines for the crowd, giving us the run around. Another dead body, lives at stake. It'll wake, look at everybody walking through, knowing I'll make it. I'm really bulletproof. Shots for everybody in your crew. Yeah, I'm 100 proof. Lucid dreaming on the loose, losing my love for truth. Beating my chest, no rest. For kings, we on the move. Symbol for the weak, but elites wanna own me too. Never getting sleep, seeking peace. But the war consumes, playing in the streets every week. Had to learn to choose, die for beliefs that I seek, or break all the rules. Chasing the evils, waiting, trying to face me, I never lose. Always could be the greatest, niggas hating, I gotta prove. Separating my demons, pacing, the chains are breaking loose. Steady waiting, Leviathan swimming through the inner you. Holding on to hope, Holy Ghost, I overuse. Never let you go, the old me is dying soon. Fighting on the ropes, my heart's broken, spirit loose. Fear induced, facing my peers, we're at the end of you. Flow better foes, they tippy toe when I'm in the room. Showing I'm a pro, evolve. See Darwinism rules, lose with the crew. It's sudden death, don't make a move. Pocket full of halos if you ever wanna play the crew. Looping through, tying a noose, it can't be true. Man of steel couldn't break loose. Swinging these bodies, strange fruit. Taste of the hate is raised and grown from bare roots. Pray on the predators, even sinners pray too.
And I really liked the song when he first sent it to me. So I pushed for him to put it on streaming just because I'm like, I'm going to listen to it a lot myself. So, you know, I really like the way he put words together in that song. For Tajani, I don't really know him that well, but I have met him before and I've told him this. He has a song called The Album Is Coming. It was supposed to be like a teaser for an album that he was going to do that he didn't release. So I kind of bugged him about that because I really like the song. So I suggest that song, you know, for selfish reasons. And He has another song titled Starter Fire, and I like it. Both of the songs that I like for him are really short, and I wish they were longer. It's like criminal that they're not longer. The next artist is Trey Ahmad, and the first song is Davis Regional. It's so personal that I can't really do it any justice by trying to explain it. It's very personal, and it's just something you have to listen to. And as you're listening to it, the picture is almost being painted through the lyrics. So that's a really personal song, and I like what was done on there. And the next one is On Cure. It was like my number one song for a couple weeks. I was wearing the song out. The instrumental, when it first comes on, it's a lot going on, but everything like comes together very well. It complements each other. And there's a COT airport reference in there. So, you know, shameless North Carolina plug, and we love our state. We're going to close out with the Dream Journal. So I've kind of released them and bits and pieces. I'm going to release it in full. So here it is.
So one of the things I've been really interested in the last, I'd say, 3-4 weeks is interpreting my dreams. There was not too long ago, I had a really vivid dream, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, but it's just something that's always been fascinating to me. And now I'm actually starting to dive in and interpret what they mean. Dreaming in general, like from when I was a kid, you know, hearing stories about, you know, oracles and you know, prophets or historical references from dreams, how, you know, they might shape everyday events, or simply if it just sets the tone for a night's worth of sleep. Well, I've been fascinated, and I'm thankful for the fact that I haven't had traumatizing experiences or recurring nightmares. Sometimes when I speak with friends and I start talking to them about my dreams and you know, what's been going on, I'm surprised to learn that they're just not as enthusiastic about dreams. Maybe because, you know, they don't dream very often, or something or some things in their life has made it just hard for them to dream in general. Or if they do, for them to dream comfortably. So one of the reasons I guess I've been dreaming more is because I've stopped smoking weed. And, you know, it was for his personal reasons. You know, I was feeling anxious while I was smoking, or once I was, you know, stoned. And so, you know, I just took some time to take a break. And I've just been, you know, now instead of smoking daily, and any day that I did smoke, I would rarely dream. I wouldn't be able to see anything but maybe like a minute's worth of something. And I could never remember it. But now that I stopped smoking, it's been insane just how vivid my dreams have got. And I've loved it so much. Back when I was in college, I did some research for a public speaking class, and it was about dreams and, you know, like how we dream, like what, where it comes from. And one of these theories, I believe it was called the activation synthesis theory. It talks about how while we dream at night, you know, we're most likely in REM sleep, which is, it stands for rapid eye movement. It's the part of sleep where your eyes are literally moving back and forth behind your eyelids, and your heart rate speeds up. Your breathing can become irregular, and the brain starts to become more active. And so the activation theory is that while we're in this part of sleep, there's a part of our brainstem called the pons. And this is the region that deals with relaying messages in the brain, either in the brain or to and from the brain. And so our brain might be in sleep mode, but it's not completely turned off. So, you know, the pons is still active, and at times, other circuits of the brain become activated. So these are areas like the limbic system, like the deal with emotions or memories or sensations like touch and smell. And so pieces like the amygdala and the hippocampus, they become active. And so all of these circuits are popping off, and the brain interprets these. They're trying to make sense of it and all this internal activity. So they're trying to create meaning in that. You know, hence that's why we start to dream. And one of the funny things that, you know, a lot of people can recall if they know about the psychologist. Psychiatrist. Can't remember. I think he's a psychologist. Yeah. Sigmund Freud. You can joke about the symbolic connections that they would do. They would interpret. So if things like jewelry or treasure or something that's valuable that you covet in your dreams, it could represent a beloved family member or a lover or someone that you care for deeply. If you start seeing fruits or sweets, desserts, that could stand for sexual delights. There's a common theme, and that's why people really joke about it. And so, like, if you dream about caves, ships, churches, things that can be filled with something like boxes or, you know, trunks or even suitcases, pockets, that could represent, you know, the female genitalia. And if you're dreaming about planes or taking off or missiles being shot or balloons floating up, congrats, you're probably thinking about an erection. But I'm not a psychologist, you know, and in my opinion, I find it hard to derive meaning from other people's interpretations of what I'm dreaming of. I mean, it's in my brain, you know, I have a first person account of what's going on and I'm just telling it to them. So, you know, that doesn't mean that you can't have self-discovery by having someone else interpret these dreams. You know, that's the point, I think, when it comes to how Freud interpreted those dreams. It's a jumping off point in what it takes to learn about ourselves. And that's where, you know, now, instead of taking these objects and these themes literally at face value or even symbolically, I'm wanting to look inward. And so, you know, how do we feel when we have a dream? You know, are we scared during some parts? Are we excited? You know, sometimes I'm unfazed by some of the craziest stuff that happened. And if I was awake and this happened in real life, obviously I would not be unfazed. I would be freaking out. So the way we can start to make sense of these isn't by trying to declare symbolism and meaning directly, but simply just from what we, how we experience it. And that can really happen, you know, once we wake up. So I've started keeping a dream journal. It's been super interesting. If you're interested in trying to learn more about your dreams and just what it is to dream, I highly suggest it. It's been super helpful. Ever since I had my first lucid dream, which it probably isn't my first one. I probably had a very vivid lucid dream like back in my life, but this one that happened recently, it's what's gotten me into keeping a dream journal and just trying to explore my dreams. So what happened, it starts off like this. So I'm in a cave, like, or a castle. Don't worry, it's not Sigmund Freud. It's not a dirty dream. I'm in this castle, like a dungeon. And it's like classic, you know, Lord of the Rings, sci-fi fantasy looking dungeon castle. Like cobblestone walls that, you know, like cracks in the walls that you can see light coming through. It's dark, you know, decrepit, and I'm crawling through and I turn into a room. When I turn into this room, it's a classroom. There are classroom desks, like whatever fantasy castle look this is, there's like school desks, like from middle school, like the ones with the little cubby spaces under the table. And I look at this room and I look to the right and there's like a side room. And there's light shining through and there's moss growing where this light is shining on this pile of rocks and rubble. And immediately to this doorway, I see another doorway. And I walk into this doorway and immediately this door opens and it's a kitchen. And this is a kitchen from my mom's friend, Melody. She has a certain kitchen and it's like angled up like a 45 degree angle off of the garage. So it's like you're walking in it into it diagonally. And it's literally this lady, you know, with a bag of trash. I walk in and she's like, "Oh, thanks, young man. Would you do me a favor and throw this away from me in the garbage behind you?" And so I'm like, "All right, yeah, sure." Totally unfazed. I grab the bag of trash and I turn back in. And that room that I was in, that was a classroom, is now a garage. And it's a garage with those same cobblestone walls. It's dark, you know, there's a garage door where the front of the class was. And then I'm looking around, I see a trash can, you know, the ones that you take out, and I'm walking towards it. And I stop myself and I say, "Wait a minute, this isn't a garage. This is the room I was just in." And that's when I had that that moment, that aha moment where I was like, oh my God, this is a dream. This is a freaking dream. And either way, I still put the trash in the trash can. Like, I still remembered. I throw that away. And then I walk into the center of the room and it's this half garage, half castle room. And so I'm like, all right, if this is a lucid dream, then I can do anything. I can send this room up into space. And as I say that, I grab both my hands from, you know, pointing palms up, and I lift, like, you know, like I had telekinesis. And as soon as I did that, I could look outside the windows, these cracked little cobblestone spaced windows. And I see the nebulas and the galaxies and the stars that would be as if I was in space. And I'm like, this room is in space. Holy shit. And so, you know, it was so surprising that I woke up. And then like I woke up, can't tell. This is the hardest part, was that I woke up, I was in my bed, and I can't remember if I actually woke up and fell back asleep or if I woke up and I was actually still dreaming, because I get up and I walk over to my dad, who's staying with me at the time, and in the living area, and I'm talking to him, and I'm like, hey, I just had the craziest dream. It was about this, you know, this dungeon and then this classroom, blah 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 blah. And then this lady walks up behind me in a red silk dress, long blonde hair tied up in a knot, you know, like an elegant knot, like almost like a jazz singer would be looking. And she walks up to me while I'm talking to my dad, and she just throws herself on me. You know, she's trying to kiss me and, you know, and grab onto me and everything. And I'm like, this is awesome. Wait a minute. I wouldn't do this in front of my dad. He's just sitting there in his wheelchair, just kind of like looking like, and then her head turns into like this worm, and it has teeth inside it, like freaking Dune or something. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. And it's insane. And I'm not scared by it. I'm just like, all right, I got to get you out of here because this isn't real and I need to wake up. And so I woke up, and then I woke up, and I was for sure in real world that time. So because of that dream, I started recording new ones as soon as I wake up, which honestly is not easy, because if I wake up late or if I simply just forget to do it in the morning, I will try to go back later in the day and write down and just recall as much as I can. And so, you know, I didn't record that one in a dream journal, but that one has just stuck with me for so long. It's already been like a month or a month and a half. And, you know, I still remember that one vividly. And now my dreams, you know, I don't smoke, or I don't drink. If I drink or smoke or do both before I go to bed, 9 times out of 10, I won't dream. So I know what it takes for me to actually get a good dream, or to get a good night's sleep, I guess is what that is. But there was another one that I actually did write down. This one was, I think, when was this? This one was back on the 18th. So 3 days ago. And it was insane. So first dream I had, because I wake up like at 6 and then I fall back asleep. And my dreams get more vivid when you fall back asleep. And so the first dream I had, I was with this girl. She had like short hair spiked up, and, you know, we're trying to, you know, get intimate, and it keeps getting interrupted. Either, you know, my friend walks in and then he leaves, or my dad walks in and he leaves, or whatever, and so far. And then finally we were alone, and then I wake up. So that's great. But then I fell back asleep. And this is one of the dreams that felt like a movie to me. I was in this detention center that was like a military school for young kids. And I'm being processed like I'm a prisoner, you know, like there's a line and we're walking in and they're doing whatever, you know, I can't see far beyond this line. And I'm like, I have to get out of here. This isn't right. This is, you know, I'm going to be trapped here. And so I'm running out the back through this long hallway. And I see those doors like in school where you have that one little tall rectangular window with the little metal barrier in between it, the little metal fence inside it. So I grab a fire extinguisher and I break the glass and I punch through the metal, and then I grab and I unlock it and I go down these staircases, and this girl's following me because I guess she's trying to leave too. She looks like Zendaya, which is insane. So I guess, you know, that's my symbolism pulling that out. So we're running down these stairs. We run into this other guy who's trying to get out. Like, if you see staircases in someone's house and you see that space under the staircase, like that's, you know, walled up with like all, or like usually it's walled up, but it could be just a space. He was crawling under there trying to push a vent open, like bracing it, his back against the wall, pushing it with his feet. And I was like, we're not going to get out of that way. We're just going to get stuck back in where we go. Let's get out of here. So we end up getting out outside. Somehow I'm dressed up as an officer now, like one of the correctional officers. And we're trying to like walk in, sneak out. And we get these false alarms because, you know, someone, you hear a gunshot and it's some other kid that was trying to hop a fence and escape. And so, you know, you think you're about to get like, it's life or death. And we're trying to find a car. We're trying to find something. Somehow it doesn't work out. We get pulled back into the prison. And then we are in the general population area, like the big tall rooms where the left side has these prison, these like the cells. And then up a second floor, you have another row of cells. We're in that kind of area. And it's dark. They haven't brought in the detainees back inside, right? And so we're like, okay, we have to get out. And we start seeing not so much those correctional officers. We start seeing above the staircases and the railings above, we start seeing scientists, like these white dudes in lab coats that are like walking by with officers or with a detainee. They're writing notes and they're talking or whatever. And that's not, you know, I'm not sure. I've never been in prison, but I know if you start seeing scientists on the bottom floor, you know, writing stuff, they're doing some nefarious stuff. So we start freaking the hell out. So we go back into the general population area and somehow the girl gets split up from us and it's me and this guy. I think I said, yeah, he looks like Chris Glover or like Childish Gambino. So, you know, there you go. I'm pulling celebrities up for this dream. So it feels like a movie, I guess. And so he's behind me and he's like, we can probably go up those stairs. You know, we can do that or we can maneuver this way. And I'm like, all right, yeah, let's see if we can go. And then he gets tapped on the shoulder and he turns around and I hear him say, he's like, man, didn't I tell you not to try and scare me like that, girl? And it's not the girl. It's actually a correctional officer with a scientist who grabbed him and turned him around. And he's like, where are your intake papers? And he's like, I got them right here. And he reaches in his pocket and he actually does have intake papers. And so he pulls it out. And he's like, oh, here you go. And the guy grabs it and he reads it. He's like, all right, cool. Take this. And he gives him the paper back. And then the officer and the scientist walk up to me and he's like, all right, let me see your papers. And I was like, sure. And I was like, praying. I was like, I hope I have something. And then I reach into my pocket and I feel that, you know, that crinkle. And I was like, oh, here you go. And it's someone else's intake paper that I think, you know, I feel like it was the girl. She slipped them in our pockets. Or maybe we had them the whole time. I don't know. And I give it to the guy and the guy was like, oh, John Dodson. All right. Oh, it says you got divorced before you got pulled in here. That sucks. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, it's probably the reason I'm in here and, you know, and whatever, like I'm trying to play it off. And he's like, all right, well, I'll be right back. I'll get your equipment. And he hands me these big, like 1970s, like radio headphones. And he's like, here you go. Apparently the paper, like I have, the guy has hearing aid problems. And so that was the hearing aids they gave me. And so then I take a big breath. They walk away and I lean back on the prison wall and I'm just like bawling. Because I'm just like, oh man, like I almost got caught, but I'm trapped in here. I don't know what's going on. We got separated from the guy and the girl now. And it's like, boom. And then I wake up. And so that one happened like 3 days ago. And it felt like a half hour. It felt like literally a movie of how, you know, it was going through and transitioning from one spot to another and discovering new characters or things like that. It was insane. So, you know, now I've just been writing them down. I've been writing down the events that happen, but now I've been doing more research and it helps to, after you've written this down, you know, to go through, read it back and start trying to pull in those themes and those symbols and your emotions at the time during these different parts and maybe trying to see if you can recall events that happened while you were awake and see if they mirrored what has happened in the dream. And, you know, it's been a great way for me to kind of take a look in and see myself and kind of reflect on, you know, how my mind is thinking or what am I pulling from or how I feel. And so, you know, the reason I brought this up today is just because I think that that type of self-reflection, you know, it can benefit. I think a lot of people can benefit from doing a little bit of self-reflection nowadays. And the dream world is just something that is so unique to me and it's unique to everyone that I think that, you know, it's definitely a good thing to try and practice and get into. So, yeah,